Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a whole bunch of breaking news to get to here on WRAL News at noon. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us. A child hit by a car, a shooting in Durham, and the search for a missing person on the Cape Fear River. Let's start with that shooting in Durham. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center with the details, Ken.
Michelle and Jeff, we want to get to these live pictures here in the WRAL Live Center right now. This is on Hillgrand Drive, near Chima Drive in Durham. Here's what we've been able to confirm. Approximately after 10 o'clock this morning, officers responded to a report of a gunshot wound in the 3800 block of Hillgrand Drive. Now, when officers arrived, they found an adult male who had been shot. He's been transported to a Durham area hospital with life-threatening injuries. We're told that right now he is stable. This remains an active investigation. And you can see from this line of pictures, there's several evidence markers on the road right now. There's one, there's two right there. This whole entire area is surrounded by crime scene tape. Police have this Hillgrand Drive blocked off. We're asking questions to find out exactly what happened, who this gentleman is who was shot, and exactly what led up to the shooting. We'll continue to monitor this story here in the WRAL Live Center.
And we have more breaking news to tell you about right now. Sky 5 is over Walnut Street in Cary, where a car was hit by a child. This is a live look you're seeing right now. This is near Ryan Road, right by Dunham Park, near Carytown Boulevard. Cary police tell us that child was hit by a Honda Fit. The driver of the Honda was not hurt. The child was rushed to Wake Med in Raleigh. Police have not shared details about the child's injuries. Police do say Walnut Street will be closed in this area through the afternoon.
And now to that missing person on the Cape Fear River. They were among five people lost on the river yesterday. Four have been rescued, but the search for that last person is underway right now. WRAL Shelley Jackson joins us live where the search continues. Shelley, what do we know right now?
Well, Michelle, crews are out here at 8 o'clock this morning to search for that fifth boater. The search is about 2 miles down the road here, and it's on private property, so that's why we're here at the staging area. And I just want to give you a scope of the search here. I counted about six or seven different agencies here. Over here is a technical or water rescue truck. Now, this is the kind of thing that those first responders train for and hope that they never have to use, but unfortunately, yesterday, they did have to respond. They were able to rescue four boaters. We don't know really yet what happened to the boat that they needed rescuing, the people on the boat. They are still out there today searching for that fifth boater. We don't have any information on who this person is. The family has asked that the police not release any information about them. Michelle?
We are hoping for some good news here. Shelley Jackson reporting live in Lake County. Thanks, Shelley. Now let's turn our attention to weather. We'll take a live look at RDU. Some spotty showers are in the forecast again today that could be possible later on. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione joins us from the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a nice look over Goldsboro right now.
Yeah, Michelle, thankfully right now we're seeing just kind of a mix of sun and clouds. It's a little bit cool, but for the most part here, a pretty nice start to this afternoon. We do, though, have that potential, as you mentioned, for some light showers as we go through the rest of today. We're going to walk through that here in just a second. Otherwise, let's get us outside right now. 55 in Raleigh, Durham, Goldsboro, 54 in Clinton, 56 is where we currently sit in Fayetteville, our cool spot at 48 in Roxboro, so likely feeling still a little bit chilly for our northern counties. Topping out though today, right about 56, if you're out and about this evening, traveling, getting on the roads, temperatures will be cold. You'll likely want to pack the winter gear, maybe throw a blanket in the back of the car with temps in the upper 30s to near 40. We walk through Futurecast. It is still continuing to show, maybe just a mix of sun and clouds for us the next couple of hours. We get closer to the evening commute, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, even maybe as early as 4, we could start to see some of these light areas popping up. You see by 6, 7 o'clock, then they push their way on through. It will be pretty light rainfall, but I do think pretty spotty in nature, that definitely from the triangle to the north, we could see that for us today. It's because of this center of low pressure, definitely going to be causing some travel issues back towards St. Louis, Chicago. It is spinning. You can see that very clear counterclockwise rotation right there, and that will push that moisture in our direction as we get through the rest of today. Again, very little moisture, but just keep that in mind. Otherwise, we should be pretty good traveling all in the green for us today through Tuesday. So that's great news here heading into our holiday. A look at WRAL's first night on our New Year's Eve forecast, 48 degrees right about 6 o'clock, and it will get cold later on in the evening, upper 30s and low 40s. We are going to walk through, though, this New Year's Eve and New Year's Day forecast in detail coming up here in just a few minutes, guys.
Thanks, Anthony. We are getting more information about the 16-year-old Fayetteville girl who was taken to Kentucky by a 35-year-old man. Authorities found that girl under a trap door in the home of Zachary Jones. He's been arrested and faces a number of charges. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays spoke with a close relative of that girl who was taken, who provided more details about this ordeal. Gilbert.
Yeah, Jeff, tough story here. And the close relative I spoke with this morning says that the missing teenager was originally from St. Louis in that area and came to Fayetteville to be with her grandmother. Now, the relative says that Zachary Jones, who's 35 years old, lied about his age, told the missing girl he was 19, came to Fayetteville and took her back to Kentucky. Now, this is what we know about what's happened here. The victim has been missing since December 6. According to papers from the Lincoln County, Kentucky Sheriff's Office, Jones's mother heard her son and the victim fighting and called authorities. When they arrived, they found drugs inside the home and discovered the victim under a trap door that was covered by a carpet. Now, Jones faces a slew of charges, including rape, strangulation, and terroristic threatening of a minor. The relative with whom I spoke this morning is concerned that Jones has not been charged with kidnapping.
Yeah, I do believe, you know, he did kidnap her because he lured her and lied to her, and then he had her in the trap door of his floor, you know. He beat the crap out of her. I consider that kidnapping.
Now, the relative confirms that the 16-year-old is back here in Fayetteville receiving the treatment for the ordeal that she's been through. Right now, after talking with authorities here in the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office, no charges are pending against Jones here. But this is an ongoing investigation, Jeff, and that may soon change.
And shocking part of that story as well, Gilbert, that man's mother is the one who called police on him. So Gilbert Bays reporting live this incredible story out of Cumberland County. Thank you.
A second American held hostage in Gaza has been declared dead, according to officials with her kibbutz. 70-year-old Judy Weinstein was on a walk with her husband on October 7th when Hamas militants invaded her kibbutz. The couple were shot and both died. A kibbutz spokesperson says the bodies of both Judy Weinstein and her husband Haggy are still with the abductors. Judy was a mother of four and a grandmother of seven, working in Israel as a teacher. And Russia launched one of the largest aerial barrages during its war with Ukraine overnight. This here is video from one of the hardest hit areas in Odessa. The Russian military hit several areas across Ukraine, killing dozens of people. Madeline Rivera has the latest.
Russia carrying out deadly missile and drone attacks in major cities across Ukraine overnight. Kyiv calling it the biggest aerial barrage of the war so far. Dozens have been killed and injured in the attacks, which unfolded over an 18-hour period. This is the fiery aftermath of a strike on a shopping mall.
Emergency and rescue operations are ongoing to search for people, including those who are still missing. There was an air alert. People were evacuated.
Ukrainian officials said the massive attack included 122 missiles and 36 drones, striking six different cities, including the capital, Kyiv. According to Ukraine's military chief, Ukrainian forces intercepted 87 of the missiles and shot down or disabled 27 drones.
There was an explosion, then flames. I grabbed my head. My head was staring at the asphalt. I fled into the subway station.
The Biden administration says it will send $250 million in aid to Ukraine. The package provides military equipment like air defense weapons, artillery ammo, anti-armor gear, and over 15 million rounds of ammunition. The State Department said it would be the last batch of assistance to the country without lawmakers' approval.
And Congress is expected to discuss more money for Ukraine next month, alongside aid for Israel and funding for the U.S. southern border.
We're just days away from kickoff of WRAL First Night Raleigh. This event is the largest New Year's Eve celebration anywhere near our area. WRAL's Heidi Kirk is live downtown in Raleigh today. And the event organizers tell us they've been planning this event since July, Heidi.
Well, Jeff, I'm new to this city, but I've been hearing things about WRAL First Night Raleigh pretty much since I moved here. I'm pretty excited. I've heard that tens of thousands are going to be crowding these streets just days from now. Now, let's get you straight to some of those details that we've got for you. Now, here's what you can expect. The event starts at 2 p.m. on Sunday. There's going to be musical performances, children's activities, all leading up to the big acorn drop at midnight. Now, there's also going to be 6 indoor events, and tickets are on sale now. Now, we spoke with event organizers who say it's all about bringing the city together.
Tonight is just so special because it's this really unique opportunity for the whole community from Raleigh and far beyond Raleigh to come together in this really positive atmosphere with our New Year's resolutions and just count down together to a fresh start for 2024.
Now, of course, if you've attended before, you're probably familiar with the big Ferris wheel. I've heard that it's one of the highlights. That's going to be set up actually right here behind me tomorrow at 9 a.m. So if you're walking in downtown Raleigh, you're going to start to see some of the festivities start to pop up here. But I know that lots of people are really excited. And of course, if you're looking for more information, the best place for you to find that is on our website, WRAL.com. Jeff.
It is a big deal, Heidi. I can tell you can't wait for it. We'll have decent weather for it as well. Heidi Kirk, downtown Raleigh. Thank you.
Each year, WRAL's parent company, Capital Broadcasting, proudly hosts the Golden Years holiday celebration, and you have two opportunities to catch the rebroadcast of the festive event on New Year's Eve. It'll air at 1 o'clock on Sunday on WRAL and at 1:30 also on Sunday on Fox 50. The celebration happened on December 15th, featuring musical performances, live music, and lots of giveaways. WRAL's Ken Smith, Renee Chu, and Brian Schrader were the MCs for that event. Well, coming up for us at noon, federal officials are warning folks to keep an eye out for counterfeit versions of drugs like Ozempic. We'll show you how to spot them.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Within the last 30 minutes, local civil rights leader Bishop William Barber held a news conference responding to the moment earlier this week when he was escorted out of an AMC movie theater in Greenville. Employees there said he couldn't use his special chair to watch the movie, The Color Purple. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center. Ken, you listened in on this. What did Bishop Barber have to say?
And Jeff, that news conference is still going on. We've been listening in since it started around 11:30 this morning. That's Reverend Barber addressing the media and other people there in the Greenville area. But first, let me give you a little background of how this all happened. It happened Tuesday at an AMC theater in Greenville. We've got some video of that as well. Reverend Barber says he took his 90-year-old mother to see The Color Purple, that movie. He said he's brought his own chair that he says with his ADA device. ADA refers to the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, it's a taller chair, he says, that helps him sit with less pain, and has arthritis and using a cane to walk. And of course, this is video of him being escorted out of the theater after police were called. I want to come back to these live pictures here now. He is surrounded by a number of clergy and, of course, people with disabilities as well. And I want to bring your attention to the chair. That was it before they zoomed in right there. That's the chair, he says, has been on Broadway. It's been at the White House. It's been everywhere he goes because of this rare arthritic condition that he's been suffering from for decades. And he's calling on for more awareness, more inclusion when it comes to people with disabilities. He's calling on law enforcement to be more aware of people with disabilities as well, because for him, he says, this isn't about him. It's for everybody who suffers from a disability who has to be out in this world. Look for new reporting on this story in our news starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
All right, Ken, thanks for that update. Well, this Chinese spy balloon made headlines earlier this year, and today we're learning more about the technology that was on board. U.S. intelligence officials have discovered that balloon used an American internet service provider to communicate. The balloon connected to the U.S.-based company to send and receive communications from China, mostly related to navigation. Officials said it found that the connection let the balloon send collections of data over short periods of time. The company, which has remained unnamed, denies the balloon used its network.
Today, Ohio's governor vetoed a bill that banned gender-affirming care for minors. Governor Mike DeWine says he visited 3 Ohio children's hospitals and spoke with families to learn more about transition-related care. DeWine called his decision gut-wrenching and said the government should not interfere with these decisions. DeWine is only the second Republican governor to veto legislation like this. Here in North Carolina, Republican lawmakers overrode our governor's veto of similar legislation, making North Carolina one of more than 20 states to ban gender-affirming care for minors.
Health officials are warning about fake versions of popular weight loss drugs like Ozempic. Several different drugs have hit the market claiming to have similar effects. Stephanie Gosk reports on how to spot these counterfeits.
Demand for diabetes and weight loss medications like Ozempic and Wegovy exploded this year, many posting progress on social media.
I am down 60 whole pounds.
2024 is set to be no different, as more and more people embrace the dramatically successful medications to shed pounds, including most recently Oprah. But as demand grows, so do concerns about counterfeits. Partnership for Safe Medicines confirms to NBC News that fake versions of this class of drugs have been discovered in over a dozen countries, including the U.S. Last week, the FDA, together with the makers of Ozempic, Novo Nordisk, announced that counterfeit versions of the diabetes drug made it into the U.S. market, releasing the batch codes to the public. According to the company, the needles inside the boxes were also counterfeit and posed a potential risk of infection. So far, there have been no serious side effects from the fakes. The FDA warns the counterfeits could still be in the supply chain.
How are people supposed to be able to tell the difference?
Yeah, it's very hard to tell the difference if you're accessing the product from a place that is not legitimate, like an online pharmacy, or not through your healthcare professional. That's probably the highest risk for being exposed to a counterfeit drug.
Experts say counterfeiters are stepping in to fill a void. According to the FDA, semaglutide, the active ingredient used in Ozempic and Wegovy, has been in short supply since March of 2022.
We have a global supply chain. We have medicines coming from everywhere. And a lot of times when these products are in high demand, there are counterfeiters who want to make money off of them.
That was Stephanie Gosk reporting. Doctors, regulators, and manufacturers say we could see more of these counterfeit drugs because the brand names are so expensive. Drugs like Ozempic and Orgovyd run about $1,000 a piece. So until the FDA approves more affordable options or more insurance companies decide to cover the drugs, alternatives could continue popping up.
There's pockets of sunshine, depending on where you are right now. Anthony Baglione in the WR Severe Weather Center. We do have a lot of clouds, though, and some showers throughout the day.
Yeah, we do, Jeff. We're seeing kind of an interesting weather setup for us. We're going to talk about this in detail in just a second, but you can see definitely some sunshine peeking through. We have a good amount of cloud cover, just depending on your location. There's a live look right now in Fayetteville, specifically. Kind of the sunshine coming through, the clouds floating on by, but what's happening right now is we have this very potent center of low pressure that's back toward the Ohio and Tennessee Valley. You can see the cloud cover that's kind of encompassing that center, if you will. And what happens in the atmosphere, we talk about low pressure, high pressure all the time. What that means is the air is rising basically over top of that. It leads to thunderstorm activity, leads to rainfall or even snow like you're seeing on the map right there. And the air around it at the surface has to kind of rush in and fill that void in the atmosphere. That's what we're going to see continue to approach us as we get closer here to the weekend. And it could be a little bit breezy as that happens. The winds around that center themselves continue to rotate counterclockwise. So what's also happening, the cold air that's back to the west is getting funneled in our direction, and we're going to see that continue into tomorrow. And that's why high temperatures tomorrow will be cooler than today, and we're going to see a rebound into our New Year's Eve on Sunday. We're at 40 currently in Nashville. You see that colder air mass, 55 is where we sit in Raleigh. All of that colder weather is going to filter on in. Mid-50s for us across the triangle, low 50s to the north, and we're in the mid to upper 50s for a place like Fayetteville. Rain chance wise, it's pretty minimal today, but as we bump future cast ahead, you can see pockets of spotty showers that continue to come on through 4, 5, 6 o'clock or so, even as late, I think it's about 8 o'clock. We continue that coverage and it gets on out of here. It is not going to be anything that I would cancel your travel plans for or kind of worry about in that sense. I just, if you're headed out this evening, would make sure to maybe have the umbrella pack there, rain jacket, just in case it may not even be heavy enough to need those. 56 is for our high temperature. temperature today, we go to 50 tomorrow, 55 on New Year's Eve, low 50s by the time we get into Tuesday. It should be feeling relatively comfortable. Our normal for this time of year is right about 52. We're at 55 on our New Year's Eve, 54 New Year's Day. That midnight time frame as we get ready to, first of all, hard to believe, head into 2024, should be, let's say, 39, 40 degrees or so. It will be chilly, but it's not going to come with any winds gusting around and making it feel too cold. I think if you have your winter jacket, you'll be fine, or winter coat, rather. A slight chance of a shower there on New Year's Day. Into the evening, overnight into Tuesday, we could see that potential. It looks like it would be very spotty at best if we do get that coverage, but let's say you're traveling back home Monday night into Tuesday, that's when I think we could see another chance of some showers. 50 degrees for us on our Saturday, 55 on New Year's Eve itself, 54 on Monday. Then we turn our attention to kind of the first system, if you will, into 2024, Wednesday night into Thursday. That looks like we could get some decent rainfall. That's why we have already a 50% chance of showers there, guys. But it looks like as we get closer, that likely will get bumped up. But we'll keep you updated. Looks like a good weekend, though, weather-wise.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks, Anthony. The number of deadly car crashes has risen significantly over the years. On our News at 4, how Wake County compares to the rest of the state and what may be contributing to the problem.
And wondering if you should spend some Christmas at home. LED face masks are the secret to radiant skin. Tonight at 5, experts weigh safety and efficacy of these glowing devices. And coming up at 12:30, Maine chooses to take former President Donald Trump off its primary ballot. What's behind the decision and what a North Carolina senator says about it? That was a tough bowl game loss for another team from the Triangle. The NC State Wolfpack fought hard, came from behind, but then fell short against Kansas State in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Final score in Orlando, 28-19. And as part of the Pop-Tarts Bowl celebration, Wildcats head coach, the winning coach, Chris Kleeman, got to feast on the edible Pop-Tarts mascot. Yeah, enough for everyone to go around. Could be worse, though. At least the Wolfpack isn't anywhere near as bad as the Detroit Pistons. Last night's loss to the Celtics put them at 28 straight losses, tied for the longest losing streak in NBA history. It was close, though. The Pistons forced overtime, but Boston went on to win it 128-122. Tomorrow, the Pistons face Toronto, and if they lose, they will break the record with 29 straight losses.
Google has agreed to settle a lawsuit over claims the company secretly tracked people online. Attorneys on both sides of the case say they reached a preliminary settlement. The lawsuit claims Google used cookies and apps to track users' consumer activity even when they were in private browsing mode. The lawsuit initially requested $5 billion in damages. Details of the settlement were not released. A court will have to approve the deal by February 24th. And this week, U.S. mortgage rates dropped for the ninth week in a row. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage fell to an average of 6.61%. That is down from 6.67 last week and down from 7% in mid-August. The drop comes from the anticipated Federal Reserve rate cut that could be coming next year. Mortgage rates are still about a quarter of a percentage point higher than this time last year.
Up next, the North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher is moving its popular bald eagle to a temporary habitat. Why bird flu plays a role in that decision.
Plus, North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis calls the decision to remove Donald Trump from Maine's primary ballot an abuse of power. What happens next after a second state decided to make that move? And as we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Here in the WRA Live Center, our new news continues. I want to update you on a couple of breaking news stories we've been following since the top of the broadcast. Let's start in Durham. You see, Durham police officers are clearing the scene right now on Hill Grand Drive. Earlier this morning, around after 10 o'clock, police got a call about a male who had been shot. They arrived on the scene to find that victim. He's been transported to the hospital where he is recovering. And again, we've got calls into police leading to find out exactly why this shooting happened, what led up to that shooting, and whether or not any suspects are in custody or they have anybody that they're looking at right now. The other story we're looking at right now, Shelley Jackson was on this story earlier. This is the search and rescue going on right now on the Cape Fear River in Lee County. Five boaters got stranded yesterday. They were able to recover four people, but one person remains missing. They've been out since daylight this morning searching for that one person. Shelley Jackson is on the story. She got an interview with the sheriff a little while ago, so expect more information to come out of this. But we'll continue to monitor this story as the search and rescue effort goes on right now in Lee County.
All right. Thank you, Ken. We are working to learn more about a deadly crash in Wake Forest as well. This was the scene from the WRL breaking news tracker around 2 o'clock this morning. The crash closed all lanes of northbound Capitol Boulevard near Club Villas Drive. Authorities tell us three vehicles were involved in this crash. One man was killed. Another person was taken to the hospital. No word on what may have caused the crash. We will continue to push for updates.
Also, an update now to developing news out of North Raleigh, where a car crashed into a townhome. The driver was a juvenile, and that driver had minor injuries. That person has been charged in relation to the incident. This happened shortly after 4 a.m. on Sumner Boulevard near Ruritania Street. No one was home at the time, but there is significant damage to that home, so the people who live there will be displaced. This is not what you want to see in your neighborhood on New Year's Eve. Caution tape and police lights, bullet holes. This is video from 2 years ago in Durham when a woman died because of celebratory gunfire. At least one town in our area now has a plan to curb that danger. Rocky Mount Police will use ShotSpotter technology to locate people firing guns on the holiday. They say extra patrols will be out, ready to respond. They remind people any bullet shot from a gun, even into the sky, has to land somewhere, and the risk of injury or death is significant.
If you're hitting the roads this weekend, tomorrow will be a very busy day. AAA predicts the best time to be out on the roads is before noon today and tomorrow. Today, the worst travel time will be between 2 and 8 p.m. And tomorrow, the worst time will be between 5 and 7 p.m. You should not see too many traffic impacts Sunday or Monday.
A second state is now blocking former President Donald Trump from the Republican primary ballot. Maine's Secretary of State ruled Trump is disqualified from making another bid for the White House, citing the 14th Amendment, taking a path similar to the Colorado Supreme Court. Alexandria Hoff is in Washington with the latest on the decision and what one North Carolina lawmaker is saying about it.
Former President Trump facing another roadblock in his race for the White House. Maine's Secretary of State ruling the 45th president is ineligible to run, given Maine law prevents people from holding government positions if they have engaged in insurrection.
It's a very detailed decision. We lay out why under Maine law the Secretary of State has the authority, indeed the obligation. I'm duty bound to make this determination.
The Trump campaign responded, calling the ruling atrocious, saying it would appeal the decision to Maine state courts. His lawyers arguing the former president's remarks on January 6th of 2021 were protected by his right to free speech. On social media, a slew of Republicans also blasted the ruling. North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis calling it an egregious abuse of power and writing he planned to introduce legislation to, quote, stop these partisan officials and ensure any constitutional challenge is only decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. This all comes after the Colorado Supreme Court decided this month to remove Trump from its primary ballot. That ruling has been paused after an appeal from the Colorado GOP, meaning Trump will appear on the primary ballot unless the Supreme Court affirms Colorado's decision.
So it is ripe for the Supreme Court to review. There's a conflict among the states, and there's a very weighty issue here, obviously, for the country.
It was Alexandria Hoff reporting, and Maine's Secretary of State suspended her ruling while Maine state courts weigh the Trump campaign's appeal. The decision by Colorado Supreme Court to take Trump off the ballot has been appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Next month, a section of a popular Raleigh trail will close for a couple weeks. We're talking about the Neuse River Trail on the east side of town. City crews will shut down this section of mile marker 18. The closure starts next Wednesday and will not reopen until January 19th. It's all because of a construction project to update nearby sanitary sewer pipes. The $13 million project is already underway. Crews will need to access the trail next month to do work on the project.
The popular bald eagle at the North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher will be relocated to a temporary habitat. Aquarium officials say they want to take the eagle out of its open-air exhibit to protect him from bird flu. They say cases have been popping up among wild birds in eastern North Carolina. The aquarium's bald eagle has not shown any symptoms, and his caretakers want to keep it that way. It's not clear when he will return.
Coming up, magnetic balls that led to thousands of emergency room visits and millions of blenders that could catch fire. Coming up, two big recalls you need to know about.
Plus, a man from Lahaina shares videos from the day he escaped the wildfires that killed at least 100 people. Why he believes his story could help prevent a future disaster. We want to see what's happening in your neighborhood, so be sure it's safe to take pictures or video and then look for the report it link on WRL.com or on the WRL News app.
Recalls to tell you about right now. First, a recall on magnetic stones that regulators say could lead to injury or death. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says these magnetic stones building blocks were sold on Walmart's website. They are small enough to be swallowed by a child, and the magnets are too strong. The agency says they have been at least there have been at least 2,500 emergency room visits and seven deaths between 2017 to 2021. If you have them, contact the toy company Joy Buy and return the products for a full refund. And BlendJet blender users, listen up. Nearly 5 million of these blenders have been recalled. They come from more than 300 reports of blades breaking off, 17 reports of overheating and catching fire, and 49 reports of minor burn injuries and one laceration. The blender has been sold nationwide and online. The recall stretches from products sold in October of 2020 through last month. It affects several serial numbers, with the first four digits ranging from 5201 to 5542.
Sampson County is getting rid of its recently passed solid waste fee. It was $80 per household, and people were not happy about it. You may remember folks packed the Board of Commissioners meeting earlier this month. One woman even dressed up as the Grinch and recited her poem and voice her frustration. Homeowners who have already paid for the coming year will be refunded. This is all part of ongoing negotiations with the solid waste management company GFL Environmental. A new deal made this week saved the county about $2 million. A portion of the Sam's Branch Greenway in Johnston County will be closed for about 2 weeks at the start of the new year because work will be happening nearby with the new Sam's Branch Water Reclamation Facility. The closure starts next Tuesday. Safety measures and barricades will be in place.
Students at Corinth Holders High School in Johnston County are headed to London. The school's band members are preparing to perform in the 2024 London New Year's Day Parade. Students will also get to visit museums and tour historic sites there. London's New Year's Day Parade is expected to be the biggest in five decades, with more than 8,000 performers. Well, coming up next for us, months after wildfires destroyed the historic Maui town of Lahaina, a survivor shares videos from his escape.
Also, a university from our area competes in a battle of the marching bands with a Metallica theme. That's just ahead. The devastation remains months after the wildfires in Maui killed at least 100 people. Today, a Lahaina man who survived the disaster is sharing dramatic videos of his escape. Mahalani Richardson reports the purpose is to remind leaders of the lessons of this tragedy.
This is absolutely crazy. Water line down, trees down. Okay, this is starting to get pretty scary. We are about to evacuate. Fire's right next to our house. We've got Nala in the car, packed up our birth certificates, and that's it.
After hours of high winds, Alfie and Jessica Baserto fled their home when they saw fire.
And that's it.
All right, the fire is just a couple hundred feet away from us now. Trying to water down our house.
He checked on three homes during his escape to make sure loved ones weren't there.
Ex's house, ex-wife, to make sure the kids and everybody's good. Her house is too close to the fire. Now we got to go to a friend's house. Down power lines. down everything.
During the wildfires, communication was nearly impossible. Berserto didn't know where two of his kids were as they escaped with friends.
I don't even know if you can hear me, but we have all these cars following us on the wrong side of the Palmy.
I could only call the mainland, and the mainland could call me.
From that call, he thought his kids were at home, trapped. So he went back into the danger zone with his dog to look for them.
Everything's raging fire, just raging, black, angry smoke.
He drove under power lines.
Just before it touches my roof of my car, I'm like, hey girl, this is it. And I just inch forward and it touches and I'm like, ah, we're still here.
He saw his kids were not there and knew he had to get out. They eventually reunited.
I am so fortunate that I didn't lose one of my children in this whole thing. I was relieved and it's all the emotions. I was relieved, I was angry, I was happy.
That roller coaster of emotions turned to devastation. The next day, Berserto saw his town in ruins and charred bodies of those who didn't make it.
It blows my mind that you would prevent people from leaving a disaster. Those roadblocks were killers. Literally, they were killers.
As multiple agencies continue their investigations into what happened August 8th, Berserto says he's sharing his video on social media for a purpose. It is graphic, but he hopes it provides answers for those who lost loved ones and sends a message that this should never happen again.
Mahalani Richardson reporting there. Certain areas of Lahaina are still off limits to visitors. Travel to Maui is down 20-30% from this time last year. Some people there are hoping visitors come back to boost the economy, but others say it's still too soon.
Well, look at this huge wave that hit the coast of California. This is Ventura Beach. 8 people had to go to the hospital, and this is happening all over the Northern California shore. Evacuation and flood warnings are in effect. Some waves as high as 40 feet, and they are coming from a powerful offshore storm. High waves of up to 40 feet are possible across the San Francisco Bay Area. The National Weather Service calls it an exceptional high surf and coastal flooding event that has not happened in many years. Just absolutely incredible to see that water there. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione has a closer look at what they are dealing with over there.
Yeah, like you said, just incredible to see kind of the stories coming out of this part of the country. We're going to start off with this storm system and then talk about our local weather. And this will not have an impact on us even as we go over the next couple of days. Every single one of those purple boxes you see right there outlining the coast of California, those are all what we call gale warnings, meaning it is dangerous to be out on the water. Of course, with the waves we were talking about a second ago, they're outlining specifically in those boxes potentially 15 to 20 foot waves with higher heights possible. And we certainly have seen that. All of that rainfall getting pushed in, it's due to that center of low pressure that's offshore, and it funnels all that moisture here into Northern California. So definitely a very impactful storm system. Back here at home, though, look how calm it is. Thankfully for us, we're seeing just a nice calm picture there, Carolina Beach. Lots of people probably headed out there this weekend. It should be a beautiful forecast the next couple of days. Maybe a light shower to the north today, let's say along the Outer Banks, Manio, Kitty Hawk, places like that. But I think overall we're looking pretty good. Lots of sunshine, 55 to about 60 degrees is where they should top out. We're looking at 55 currently, Raleigh-Durham, 50 as we head toward our northern counties at this point. We should top out, let's say, mid to upper 50s, 57 in Clinton and Goldsboro, 56 in Rocky Mount. A light shower is possible for us today. It will not be a plan-canceling kind of rainfall, but as we go forward here on FutureCast, I'm going to pause this at a couple points just to kind of help you plan. 3 o'clock this afternoon, maybe some cloud cover filling in. I think still a good amount of sunshine getting through. Pockets where we see some rainfall potentially starting. There's 3 o'clock. We go forward to about 5 o'clock. That evening commute, if you're hitting the road tonight, you're just out and about traveling, just going for a walk, this is when I think some of this could start, especially from the triangle to the north. A lot of our southern counties, and most of us should be relatively dry, but a place like Fayetteville, Goldsboro, you can see not seeing any coverage at that specific point in time. If that were to verify, some of those may get pushed closer. There's 8 o'clock this evening, and it's starting to wrap up and push on out. It will not be a big rainmaker for us. Very, very little, if any, accumulation with the precipitation amounts, if you will. But as far as what we're expecting, expecting. That's what I want to make you aware of here into the next couple of hours. That's what we're looking at. 50 degrees for us, a cooler day tomorrow, 50 in Goldsboro, 50 in Clinton. Everyone probably feeling like the mid to upper 40s, at least early on in the day, because of winds maybe gusting 15 to 20. It should not be a huge factor for us tomorrow. Check out that nice forecast, though, for WRAL's first night in Raleigh into New Year's Eve. Nice as in lack of rainfall. It'll be relatively where we should be for this time of year, feeling like the upper 30s and low 40s. 38 degrees there as we head into the first couple of hours of 2024. As far as our holiday planner is concerned, a good summary, New Year's Eve, 55, 54 into New Year's Day, both days within a degree or two of one another. Over the next seven, here's what we're looking at. 56 today, we drop to 50 tomorrow, then getting back up to about where we should be, 54 on Monday, New Year's Day. There could be, like we're expecting today, just a pocket of a shower or two Monday evening. Our next, though, good rainmaker, guys, comes in into Wednesday and Thursday with some off and on showers, maybe a thunderstorm, but this weekend's looking pretty calm.
Good to know. Thanks, Anthony. Fuel for whom the bell tolls. Enter Sandman. Metallica hit songs, but played by marching bands across the country. Up next, a band from our state that wants to prove they're the best.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The search is still on for a missing boater along the Cape Fear River. Five people were in the water and four were found yesterday evening. Today, authorities are back on the Chatham County waterway searching for the final person. The four rescued boaters are doing well. We'll keep you up to date as the search continues.
A teenage girl is back home safe in Fayetteville today after she was found underneath a trap door inside a Kentucky home. The 16-year-old girl was first reported missing December 6th and was found Christmas Day. Police in Lincoln County, Kentucky released documents showing 34-year-old Zachary Jones is the one charged with assault, rape, strangulation, and terroristic threatening of a minor.
A section of Walnut Street in Cary is closed after a child was hit by a car. Taking a look at video from Sky 5, the crash happened near Ryan Road at about 11:15 this morning. The child was taken to the hospital. Walnut Street is closed from Ryan Road to Ralph Drive while police investigate. No charges have been filed at this time.
Marching bands across the country are competing to see who can create the best versions of Metallica's music. A school from our state is in the competition. Why wouldn't the crowd go wild with that? That was Western Carolina University's marching band's rendition of Fuel. They entered the collegiate level of this competition. There's also a high school category. Winning prize is $75,000. Wow. You can vote for your favorite entry through Sunday online at MetallicaMarchingBand.com. That is cool stuff, isn't it?
Good luck to them. They're
right?
Awesome.
They sound great. Thousands of people will fill downtown Raleigh for the WRL first night celebration on Sunday as crews put the finishing touches on preparations for the big event. You can expect live performances and plenty of activities for families, including a new amusement ride. The Acorn will drop with a fireworks display at 7 and then again at midnight.
And we are your home for WRL First Night Raleigh. If you want to watch from your couch, expanded coverage of all the fun starts Sunday at 10 p.m. on Fox 50. Our coverage will continue straight through the midnight Acorn drop and fireworks. You can also watch the Acorn drop on WRL right after Sunday Night Football. And our pet of the day on this Friday, the final Friday of 2023, comes from SPCA of Wake County. This is Tink. She's a 10-year-old spayed long hair cat. Tink is a princess and she knows it. She loves being the center of attention. She's not a big fan of other cats, though she much prefers human company. So she is looking for a home where she can be your solo cat. Tink has a sensitive tummy and eats a special food, so she would probably do best in a cat-savvy home. Her adoption fee is $45. That includes her spay, microchip, vaccines, and more. And for more information on Tink, visit spcawake.com. Well, today is expected to be a busy day at the nation's airports. TSA says more than 2.6 million travelers will pass through its checkpoints. We'll keep an eye on the travel picture and let you know how it's going. That's today at 4. And NBC News Daily continues next on WREL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. If this is your Friday before the holiday, like ours, Happy New Year to you.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.